إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, on this auspicious day of Jumu'ah, the best day of the week, I'm going to talk about something that I've never talked about before, and I'm going to specifically mention a person's name that I've never highlighted in this sense before. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide my tongue, because this exposition, this exposing of this individual and highlighting this individual is something that we all need to know. I'm going to specifically mention his name, and I ask once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide my tongue, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you, the Muslims who hear my voice, remember this man and pay careful attention to everything that I'm saying about this man. And I can't say enough about him. For everything that he used to do and everything that he has done is notorious. He was notorious for everything that he used to do and he has done. And he is a personality that you better make yourselves acquainted with. His name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abd al-Manaf ibn Qusay ibn Kilab ibn Murra ibn Ka'b ibn Lu'ay ibn Ghalib ibn Sahr ibn Malik ibn Nadr ibn Kinana ibn Khuzayma ibn Mudrika ibn Iyas ibn Madar ibn Niza ibn Ma'ad ibn Adnan sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this human being, a human being who received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the greatest personality that ever walked the face of the planet Earth. And you, I, all the Muslims, and those who are non-Muslims, we need to make ourselves abreast of this individual. We need to gain as much knowledge of this individual as we can. We need to know him, proverbially speaking, inside out. From the head to the toes, around him, all through him. We need to know him better than we know ourselves. Because for a surety, he's closer to us than we are to ourselves. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam has been written about, lectured about, spoken about, discussed, and his name, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is praised in the heavens and on earth. For 1415 years, this personality has shined and outshone every single personality. Even the kuffar, those individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ, they are the worst of creatures. Even the kuffar have praised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And outside of any other name that is given to a child, like Jones and Harry and Frank, The name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, according to the kuffar themselves, is the most given name out of all names on the face of the planet Earth. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a name that unfortunately Muslims forsake when they name their boys. And we should try to go back to the way of the Salaf and naming our boys after the names of Allah and then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Muhammad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as a mercy to all mankind. There's one example of a kafir, non-Muslim, whose name is Dr. Hart. Over 10 years ago, he wrote a book, the title that eludes me, something to the effect, The 100 Most Influential Personalities in History. 100, the 100 most influential personalities in history. This is a book that you can buy at almost any bookstore among the bookstores of the Kuffar. And after at least 17 years of study, this kafir, Yahudi I believe, and Allah knows best, wrote, studied, researched about those individuals whom mankind have been talking about for centuries, not months, not years, not decades, but centuries, from the time of Adam all the way up to this time today. And in his list of 100 individuals, Martin Luther King, Martin Luther, Aristotle, Napoleon, Omar ibn al-Khattab, Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary, and many other personalities until he reached 100. Number one, top on the list, was Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, if my memory serves me correctly, that this individual outshined everyone. And when he was asked why he chose that person, he said because he was a total man. He was a total man. They asked him, why did you choose him over Jesus, the Messiah, born of the Immaculate Conception, the one who changed mankind in his time? He said because Jesus never married. So there's no example for him of being a husband. And Jesus never had children. So there's no example for him to show his great personality as a father. And Jesus wasn't a statesman because he stayed away from those political arenas of that time. Nor was he a military man because he stayed away from that. In his Sharia, you turn the other cheek. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his example permeates and saturates every single facet of life. As a father, as a husband, as a military man, as a statesman, as a politician, as an economist, as a humanitarian, as a religious quote-unquote leader, every single facet of life, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam outdid all the rest. This is the man, brothers and sisters, that we need to make ourselves acquainted with. This Muhammad alayhi salam had many, many virtues. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about one of those virtues, of the many qualities and attributes of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his Quran. Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Verily there has come to you a messenger from yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. It grieves him. It grieves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you should receive, you the Muslims, we the Muslims, should receive any injury or difficulty. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He is anxious over you. For the believers, he is full of pity, he's kind, and he's merciful. The Prophet alayhi sallam was very concerned. Just one of the qualities, brothers and sisters, of the Prophet alayhi sallam for us. He was so concerned with us that he said, لَوْ أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسَّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, if it were not a hardship on my ummah, I would have ordered them to use miswak at every single salah. In another hadith, he said, if it were not a hardship on my ummah, I would have delayed the salatu isha until midnight. To make it easy on you. To make it easy on myself. As a Muslim, he didn't want any difficulties on us. Because he loved his ummah, those who he saw and those who he didn't see. And no other leader had this attention for his followers. All the way until his death, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was concerned about us. Don't overdo me in praising me as they did my brother Isa ibn Maryam. Don't overdo it in praising me as they did my brother Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary. Why? It's because those people of the past, before him, they praised and praised and overpraised Isa ibn Maryam to the point now where the people worship him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not allow our hearts or our tongues or any part of our being overpraise the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam. Ameen. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us remember him and know who he is and become acquainted with his personality, because he is the greatest personality that ever lived on the face of the planet Earth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another example of how he was, as far as our well-being is concerned, is a hadith that is transmitted by Imam Muslim, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِنَّمَا مَثَلِي وَمِثْلُ أُمَّتِي كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ إِسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَجَعَلَتِ الدَّوَّابِ وَالْفَرَاشِ يَقَعْنَ فِيهِ. And in another narration, فَأَنَا آخُذٌ بِحُجَزِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَقَحَّمُونَ فِيهِ. This is on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where he said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, the example of mine and that of my ummah is that a person who lit a fire and there began to fall into it insects and moths. And I am there to hold you back, meaning back from the fire, but you plunge into it. In other words, the Prophet of Allah is the individual sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is sent to keep us from going into the hellfire. And in the other narration, he said, but you are slipping from my hands. So he's there to guard us, to direct us away from the hellfire. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in another narration, showing how concerned he was over the Muslims. When the Muslims themselves are not concerned over themselves, the Messenger of Allah is concerned for you. He said, مَا تَرَكْتُ شَيْئًا يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيُبَعِدُكُمْ عَنِ النَّارِ إِلَّا وَأَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا تَرَكْتُ شَيْئًا يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى النَّارِ وَيُبَعِدُكُمْ عَنِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَنَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ. I have not left off anything in my ordering you except that will bring you closer to Allah and farther away from the hellfire. And I have not left off anything in my prohibition to you except that it will bring you farther from Allah and closer to the hellfire. This is the concern that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam had for us until Yawmul Qiyamah. And we should show the concern for him by loving him, cherishing him, and paying attention to his personality, not overdoing the praise for him. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was an individual like all of the individuals, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, Yuha alayhi, that except revelation came to him. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said about him, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, in terms of his modesty, أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها وكان إذا شيئا عرفنا فيه في وجهه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companion Anas said that he was most modest, talking about his shyness and his modesty, that he was so modest, he was more modest, brothers and sisters, than a virgin in the innermost secret parts of her apartment. This is how modest the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was. He was the individual that was so modest, he was more modest than a virgin girl behind a curtain. And when he disliked anything, we recognize that dislike in his face. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet's companion Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, when he used to touch the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never felt skin as soft as his, and his skin was softer than the finest of silk and brocade. The skin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. One of the companions of the Messenger of Allah's mother, Sulaim, who was married to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said that when the Prophet used to come to our house, meaning to his wife's house, his mother, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's wife Sulaim used to go to him when he was to perspire from his limbs, and she used to take a bottle and put it under his perspiration. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to her, مَا هَذَا الَّذِي تَصْنَعِينَ. What is this you're doing, Ya Sulaim? Why are you doing this? And she said, هَذَا عِرْقُكَ نَجْعَلُهُ فِي تِيبِنَا وَهُوَ مِنْ أَطْيَبِ الْتِيبِ. Allahu Akbar. She said, this is your sweat, which we mix in our perfume, thus making the perfume become more fragrant in its scent. This is your scent. We take these bottles and put it under your sweat to catch it so we can mix it with the perfume to make it sweeter and more stronger in the scent. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest of personalities. The same individual that when the companions of the Messenger of Allah used to watch him making wudu, they used to rush to catch the water from his, with drip from his limbs in order to make wudu from it for the barakah. The same Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when he went to the barber to get his hair cut, they used to put their hands under the hair to let it fall in their hands so it wouldn't hit the ground, to save it for barakah. And no other individual. We ask Allah, brothers and sisters, to make us acquainted with the personality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we should love him and follow him, love what he loved, hate what he hated, make sure that he's dear to our hearts. For surety, if he's dear to our hearts, we will find the sweetness of Iman. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulihil Kareem, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Thumma amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we've only shared with you a few of the qualities of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Now we'd like to give you as many as we can in a nutshell, in a few paragraphs. This, brothers and sisters in Islam, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as though you can see him. Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu said, I asked my uncle Hind ibn Abi Hala about the features of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm telling you these things, brothers and sisters, so that perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal can grace you and have His mercy on you and His bounty on you, that maybe one day if you are able to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your dream, you have seen him in reality, and the only way that can be done, among the other ways that it can be done, is that you know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked like, and you know his characteristics, his personality, and his attributes. He was eager to describe the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he began thusly. He said, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was imposing and majestic. His face shone like the full moon. He was somewhat taller than medium height, and a little shorter than what could be described as tall. His head was large, and he had hair that was neither curly nor straight. It was parted and didn't go beyond the lobes of his ears. He was very, very fair-skinned, with a wide brow, and had thick eyebrows with a narrow space between them. He had a vein there on his neck, which throbbed when he was angry. He had a long nose with a line of light over it, which someone might unthinkingly take to be his nose. His beard was thick and long. He had black eyes, firm cheeks, a wide mouth, and white teeth with gaps. The hair of his chest formed a fine line. His neck was like that of a statue made of pure silver. His physique was finely balanced. His body was firm and full. His belly and chest were equal in size. His chest was broad and the space between his shoulders wide. He had full calves. He was luminous. Between his neck and his navel, there was a line of hair, but the rest of his torso was free of it. He had hair on his forearms and shoulders and the upper part of his chest. He had thick wrists, wide palms, strong hands and feet. His fingers were long. He was finely sinewed, meaning finely boned and jointed. He had high insteps, and his feet were so smooth that the water used to run right off it. When he walked as though he were going down a hill. He walked in a dignified manner and walked easily. He walked swiftly. When he walked, it was as though he was heading down a slope. When he turned to address somebody, he turned his whole body completely. He lowered his glance, glancing downwards more than upwards. He restrained his glance, and he spoke first to his companions and was the first to greet any person he met, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu said, "Tell me how he spoke." Ibn Abi Hala reported, radiallahu anhu, "The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was always subject to grief and was always reflective. He had no rest, and he only spoke when it was necessary. He spent long periods of time in silence. He began and ended what he said correctly." He began and ended whatever he said correctly. His words were comprehensive without being a lot of words, superfluous, or wordy or inadequate. He had a mild temperament, being neither harsh nor cool. He valued a gift, even if it was small. He did not censure anything, nor criticize or praise the taste of food. He didn't get angry because of it. He didn't attend to securing his own due, nor did he get angry for himself, nor help himself. When he pointed with his blessed hand, he did so with his whole hand. When he was surprised about something, he turned his palm upside down. When he talked, he held his right thumb in his left palm. When he was angry, he turned away and averted his face. When he was happy, he looked downwards. Generally, his laughter consisted of a smile, and he showed his teeth, which were as white as hailstones. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu said, "I refrain from mentioning to Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma four times. Then I spoke to him and found that he had beaten me to it. He had asked our father about how the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam behaved at home, and when he was out, how he behaved, and a little bit about his features. He had not omitted anything in the explanation." Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu said, "I asked my father about how the Messenger of Allah was at home, and he said, it was allowed him to enter his house for his own comfort. When he retired to his house, he divided his time in three parts. One part for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one part for his family, and one for himself. Then he divided his part between his people and himself. He used that time for the people, more for the common people than the elite. He didn't reserve anything for himself to their exclusion. Of his conduct, in the part reserved for himself was that he would show preference to the people of merit and would divide that time according to their excellence in the deen. The praiseworthy sect. The praiseworthy clique. Some people needed one thing, some people needed two, and some had many needs. He concerned himself with those individuals who needed more and kept them busy doing things that were good for them and the community. He always asked about them and what was happening to them. He used to say, those who are present should convey things to those who are absent, and you should let me know about what is needed by people who cannot convey their needs to me. On the day of resurrection, Allah will make firm the feet of a person who conveys to a ruler the need of someone who cannot convey it himself. This was all that was mentioned in his presence, and he would only accept this from the people. And then another companion said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people who used to seek knowledge from him, they entered as seekers of knowledge when they entered into the house or presence of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And they only parted after having tasted something, leaving as men of fiqh and understanding. Then the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they said, tell me about when he went out and how he behaved outside. His father replied to Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu and Al-Husayn, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam held his tongue except regarding what concerned the people. He brought people together and did not split them. He honored the nobles of every group of people and appointed them over their people. He was cautious about people and on his guard against them, but he did that without averting his face from them or being discourteous. He asked about his companions and he asked people how other people were. He praised what was good and encouraged it, and disliked what was ugly and discouraged it. He took a balanced course without making changes. He was not negligent, fearing that people would become negligent and weary. He was prepared for any eventuality. He didn't neglect a right, nor did he let his debts reach the point where others had to help him. The best and most preferred people in his eyes were those who had good counsel for him. Those he most esteemed were those who supported and helped him. And then Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu asked about his majlis ashura and how he behaved with them. He said, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did not sit down or stand up without mentioning Allah. He did not reserve a special place for himself and forbade other people to do so. When he came to people, he sat down at the edge of the assembly and told other people to do the same. He gave everyone who sat with him his share, so that no one who sat with him thought that anyone was honored more than he was. If anyone sat with him or stood near him to ask for something, he put up with that person until the person turned away. When someone asked him for something he needed, he either departed with it or some consoling words. He had the kindest and best behavior of all human beings, being like a father to all human beings. They were all equal in respect of their rights with him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His majlis ashura was one of forbearance, modesty, patience, and trust when he dealt with them. Voices were not raised in it, nor were shortcomings made public, nor lapses exposed. Its members were attached to each other by fear of Allah and were humble. The old were respected and mercy was shown to the young. They helped those with need and showed mercy to the strangers. And then Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu asked how he behaved with his companions. And his father Ali radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was always cheerful, always easy-tempered, and always mild. He was neither rough nor coarse. He didn't shout nor utter obscenities. He did not find fault with nor did he overpraise people. He ignored what was in the excessive amounts and left it. He abandoned three things in himself: hypocrisy, storing things up, and what didn't concern him. He also abandoned three things in respect of other people, and he did not censor or rebuke anyone. He didn't scold them, nor try to find out their secrets. He only spoke about things for which he expected of him. They kept quiet until he had finished. Their conversation was about the first topic broached. He laughed at what they laughed at, and was surprised at what they were surprised at. He was patient with a stranger who had coarse language. He said, when you find someone asking for something he needs, then give it to him. He did not look for praise except for counterbalance of something. He did not interrupt anyone speaking until that person had himself come to an end by either speaking or getting up from where he was sitting. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is just a glimpse of the personality of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, in conclusion of this khutbah, inshallah, we like to say that today, and Allah knows best, is the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, the day in which almost all of the scholars of Islam differ on the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one is in agreement that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on this day, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, on a Monday. That date was kept hidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of a great mercy. And one of those great mercies, brothers and sisters in Islam, is that the Muslim should not imitate the kuffar by celebrating his birthday. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Some points to keep us far away from this, brothers and sisters, is that even if the birthday of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is confirmed, all the scholars agree that the companions of the Messenger of Allah radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and the tabi'een, and those who followed them for the first three generations, and not until 600 years after the Prophet died, did they celebrate the Prophet's birthday, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only until after the Muslims came in close contact with the Christians and other groups did they start celebrating the Prophet's birthday. Thirdly, those celebrating the birthday, they believe that this is an act of worship. And acts of worship are only sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and exemplified by He Himself, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Fourthly, those celebrating that day are imitating the kuffar, namely the Christians. Fifthly, people who gather, they gather making poems and songs, and some of them go to the point of committing shirk. They make up poetry saying things like, Ya Rasulullah, as though the Messenger of Allah is alive, or as though he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we know he is in his grave. Ya Rasulullah, take my hand and show me the way. These are some of the words that some of the Muslims say when they gather to innovate this practice into the deen, and anything that is innovated into the deen is rejected, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever introduces anything into the affair of ours that is not originally of it, shall have it rejected. And finally, brothers and sisters in Islam, when they gather to celebrate the birthday of the Messenger of Allah, they gather in many cases with music and dancing, and they call it Islamic songs, Islamic dance, and Islamic music. All these things are haram, brothers and sisters in Islam. We should stay far away from celebrating the Prophet's birthday on a yearly basis. And if you want to celebrate the Prophet's birthday, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you should fast on Mondays. For as a man, when he came to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, and asked him about fasting on Arafat, on Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is an atonement for all the sins past of the year. And when he asked about Arafat, he said it is an atonement for all the past sins of the year and this year. And when he asked about fasting on Monday, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the day I was born, and this is the day that revelation began to come down on me. So if we want to celebrate the Prophet's birthday, brothers and sisters in Islam, we should fast on Mondays, and included to that is Thursdays. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, to incite in us
and pour into our hearts the love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make sure that we become acquainted with his personality. Because for surety, he is the most influential, most greatest personality that ever hit the face of the planet Earth. He, in reality, is the spokesman for human salvation. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَّسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.